Our text this evening is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 7 and verse 25. Then the text is illustrated in 2 Samuel chapter 9. That'll make more sense in just a few minutes, but I'll begin by reading our text, Hebrews 7, 25, and then I'll read the chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 9. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 9, we see this beautiful gospel illustration. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was one of the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant, that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We have in this gospel illustration the invitation of the king, and we have the response of the subject. We also have the provision of the king. Now, the invitation of the king. The king calls one into his presence. The king, King David, called Mephibosheth into his presence, and he called Mephibosheth into his presence because of his love for Jonathan. David's throne had been established. His authority was without question. And he speaks to his counselors. And he says, is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And Mephibosheth was brought into the king's presence at the king's command. And David said to him, Mephibosheth. And here then is this subject brought into the presence of his sovereign. There is a God in heaven who rules over all the heavens and the earth. The psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. There is a God in heaven, and he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He rules over all, and his authority is established, and when his word goes forth, his word is accomplished. And to this God of heaven has an invitation to his subjects. He says, this is my beloved Son. On more than one occasion, as the Lord Jesus walked upon the earth, the Father spoke concerning his Son. He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. And the prophet Isaiah spoke of the great invitation of this King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Lord God Almighty, when he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This is the great invitation of the King. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. This is the way each one of us is born. This invitation to us to seek the Lord is an invitation to the wicked, where we are full of sin and rebellion against the God who rules the heavens and the earth. Let the wicked forsake his way. We must first acknowledge that we are wicked. The unrighteous man his thoughts. And it's not only our actions that are wicked and contrary to God, but our thoughts as well are against him. Our thoughts are beneath the holiness and the righteousness of God. It says, and let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. What is he returning to the Lord for? The invitation, the call to come to the Lord for mercy. Let he not give us that which we deserve. To our God, he would abundantly pardon the wickedness of our actions and the unrighteousness of our thoughts. But God does not pardon the wickedness of our way or the unrighteousness of our thoughts simply because we ask. But he pardons and he forgives. And he shows mercy for Jesus' sake. So we come to our text in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Mephibosheth had an entrance to David's throne room. He had an invitation to come. And in that invitation to come, he had access to the king's throne, to the king's table, to all of the king's rich bounty and provision. Not because of what he had done, but because of the king's love for his father Jonathan. The invitation to David was specific to Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. The invitation, the living God, is a specific invitation to sinners. It's a very broad invitation. It's an invitation to sinners, wherever sinners might be found. But it is an exceedingly personal invitation that you come personally into the presence of the living God. We turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 14. Verses 16 to 24, and we read the story of a certain man that made a great supper. This man is likened unto the invitation that God of heaven has set forth to sinners. For this certain man that made a great supper, he bade many. And the invitations were personal. And the man's servants went forth to them that were bidden. And his servant was faithful to carry out his duties. And those that he went to, he said, "Come, for all things are now made ready." The God of heaven has made a great table, and he's spread abundant provision. All that is needed, all that you could ever want, is set out before you. Just come and partake, he says. All things are now made ready. But there were those who heard the invitation, and they made excuses. One said, "I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it." There was another that said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them." And a third said, "I have married a wife, and I cannot come." We read these excuses and say, how foolish of these people. There's been a great feast that has been provided for them. There is something marvelous and wonderful just waiting. The servant's gone and said, "It's ready. Just come and partake." And too busy. They have something else to do. Something else that's going on. How tragic. They go on their way. The invitation is expanded. "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city," this certain man said, "and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." The servant returned and said, "It's done, and yet there is room." And he says, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." And the man of the house said, "I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Those that made excuse, such a tragic hour, they'll not partake of my bounty. The parable here is, the point of the parable, the point of the story is, those who made excuses are those who lost out. Whatever their profit was, the man with the oxen, the man with the piece of ground, the man with the wife, whatever the benefits were of the things that they made excuse over, theirs was the loss. And those who would make excuse to say, at the invitation of the living God, "No, that's all right. No, I've got something else to do. No, I've got this going on right now. I'll tend to that some other time." They're the ones who've lost. You think of Mephibosheth. Tells us in that passage, a man who's lame in his feet, a man who has tucked away off in a corner. David knew Jonathan. Is there anybody left? A servant was found, and then they found him. He'd kind of been forgotten, or perhaps he was in hiding. "No, I'm not going to go see King David. Now the king has commanded that I come, but I'm going to go find someplace else to be. I'm going to hide out from the king. I'm going to head off to Egypt, or I'll go off to some other country. I'm going to not go to the king's presence." What would he have lost? The king's invitation had come to him. What does the sinner lose? Oh, God has said, all things are now made ready for thee. David acted on behalf of Jonathan's memory. Well, the Father in heaven, the God of all the earth, he acts on behalf of Christ's continual pleadings. The hymn writer wrote, 5 bleeding wounds he bore, 5 bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. "Forgive," they cry, "forgive," they cry, "nor let that ransomed sinner die." And so our text comes back to mind from the book of Hebrews. "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost." All things are made ready, everything is accomplished for the soul of the ungodly sinner, the wicked sinner, the unrighteous thoughts of man. All things are made ready for the salvation of sinners, for pardon that sinners need. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. David is acting out of a love for his friend Jonathan. God in heaven is acting on behalf of the love that he has for his only begotten son. And his son pleads on behalf of his people. The invitation of the king is a rich invitation. It's a powerful invitation. We have the response of the subject. We go back to David's throne room, and we find there, David said to Mephibosheth, just stated his name, Mephibosheth. This was a personal matter going on between the two of them. And Mephibosheth answered, and he answered in his place. He said, "Behold thy servant." He knew himself to be who he was. "I'm Saul's grandson. Jonathan was my father. I'm here to give you some counsel, David." He wasn't there to boast of his pedigree or his position, the place where he had come from, his heritage. He came as a servant, as a subject to the king's rule. "I am under your authority. I am here at your bidding, at your disposal. Just whatever you want. You and I don't have any other place before the living God. I am just here at your disposal. I am your servant. I have nothing to offer you. I can do nothing to make God any greater than he is. I seek to sing his praise and to glorify him and to make him great before men, but he is great and he is glorious and he is infinite in might and power, with or without me. And I add nothing to the grandeur of his throne." King says, "I will show thee kindness for Jonathan's, thy father's sake. I will restore thee all the land of thy father. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And David said to Mephibosheth, David said to Ziba, "Mephibosheth shall eat always at my table. He shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." Mephibosheth's answer was, "What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Everything that Mephibosheth needs for the rest of his life is now set in front of him. And more than that, it's not just that he's off in a corner someplace and everything's just brought to him on a tray someplace, but he's at the king's table as if he is one of the king's sons. And the response of the subject is, "I don't deserve it." And the response of the sinner to the invitation of the living God is, "I don't deserve any good thing at your hand. I don't deserve to enter into your presence. I don't deserve that any graciousness or kindness that you would show me." Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Is the subject in his and her right place before the King of Kings, the mighty Lord of heaven? The invitation of the king, the response of the subject, and then the provision of the king. When you come as a sinner, you come unto God through the blood of his son. You will find his provision to be a rich provision, as Mephibosheth found. I don't know exactly what was on King David's plate. what was at his table was served. Perhaps the very best of lamb, whatever fowl or birds that they would have hunted and brought in, whatever King David would have eaten, whatever it had, Israel had to offer in those days in the way of delicious foods, it would have been on the king's table. And it became Mephibosheth's fare. All of the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yea and amen. That which God has provided for those who have come to him, not like those who were invited to the feast, said, no, I've got other things to do, but the halt and the maimed and the blind and those who are the outcasts that came into that certain man's house that to partake of his feast, they enjoyed that rich bounty. All of the promises of God that are in Christ Jesus are for the enjoyment of those who have come unto God by Jesus Christ, for he makes intercession for us. God hears his plea, the plea of his Son, on behalf of those people who are trusting him. And God says, well, I'll give them everything I've promised my Son. We have even more, for his Son received no forgiveness of sin. It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. There was a man who was brought into the presence of the Lord Jesus. His four friends brought him to a house and couldn't get in the house, and they led him down through the roof, and they set him down before the Lord Jesus on the cot that they carried him there on. The Lord Jesus saw their faith, and he looked at the man, and he said to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then in order to show the people who were there in that room, the crowd that is squeezed into that house, that he had the power to forgive sins, he told the man, take up thy bed and walk. And he walked, and he headed home, praising the Lord all of the way. But what the Lord did for him, he forgave his sins. There is no greater blessing that we have than the forgiveness of sins. If the man had died on the cot, however many years he had been there, and maybe he'd lived quite a number of years farther, and he had died on that cot with his sins forgiven, and he'd gone to heaven, all of his sufferings in this earth would have accounted to nothing to be in the presence of God. And like the rich man in the book of Luke chapter 16 who fared sumptuously and he was died and he lifted up his eyes and he was in torments, all of the comforts that he enjoyed of this life, the rich living that he had and his rejection of the word of God, he was cast into eternal torments. All of the comforts he enjoyed amounted to nothing. The moment he lifted up his eyes and found himself in torments. Blessed are all they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. All those who come unto God by him. For he maketh intercession in your behalf. There's the forgiveness of sins and there's justification. For Jesus Christ bears those sins on the cross. He suffered the hell that we deserve. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Justified in the eyes of God. Made to appear as though we are as righteous as Jesus Christ. This is one of these great blessings to be found. The hand of God, and we enter into his presence to have sins forgiven, to be considered as righteous as Jesus Christ, the promise of his presence. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 15, we read, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. The world that we live in, the world that Paul lived in when he wrote those pages, it's the same world. And every generation is a crooked and a perverse generation. Some with greater perverseness, perhaps, than other generations. But nonetheless, the world we live in is crooked and perverse. But Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The rich blessing here is that Jesus Christ is always present with his people, even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And he has also promised, and the promise is delivered, that his people enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I will pray the Father, Jesus said, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Mephibosheth was declared to be as if he were one of the king's own sons. And so the Lord says of his people, wherefore, come out from among them. Come out from the ungodly, from the idolaters, from the false worshipers, from the people of this world. Separate your life from them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And he says, I will receive you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Sons and daughters, to feast at the throne of the King of Kings, the Almighty God. What do we have to offer him? We would seek to serve him. We would seek to live according to his word. We would seek to do nothing that would bring him shame or reproach to his name. But in the end, what can we really offer him? Anything more than Mephibosheth could say, I would offer him my praise and my honor. How could I deserve these things? Nonetheless, they're mine to enjoy. And finally, there is the promise of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our text said, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, there is no other entrance into the presence of God, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Have you come to this place in your life where you have said, I am coming unto God by Jesus Christ, who is making intercession for me, who will make intercession for me? I don't deserve that. And there's no reason in me or about me. There's nothing about me that would cause him to plead on my behalf, but he will, because I am coming to him as a result of the invitation that he has given to me. And I'm coming to God by Jesus Christ. Have you come to that place in your life where you have come to him in that fashion, simply taking him? If not, then come to him right now. Personally, you personally calling upon him. Lord, I'm answering this invitation. In my own heart, before the throne of grace, before the King of heaven, I am coming into your presence by Jesus Christ. And I ask you to hear me for his sake. You come and you pray.